Welcome, Guardians, to episode 280 of Destiny Massive Breakdowns. I am your host, Kid Kutcha, and I am here today with a little bit of gruffness in my voice, a little throaty rasp going on tonight. And I'm very fortunate to have a co-host with me who's going to help fill in when I need to rest my my moneymaker here, my performance art, my voice. Impetus, welcome back to the show. I'm glad to have you.
Thank you. Good to be back on the show. Good to be talking to the boss, talking about weapons, talking about Destiny.
Heck yeah, man. I'm super pumped. We've got more to talk about tonight than I had actually originally planned. And I already thought this is going to be a pretty dense episode. So we're going to see if my pipes can hold up through the whole thing. We'll do what we can. If I end up whispering into the mic at the end, it'll just, you know, we'll get a little ASMR Destiny Massive Breakdowns going on. I know there's going to be some people ready for it. So without, I don't want to spend too long on the intro this week. It kind of a long intro last episode, so I'm going to kind of speed run it a little bit. We've got a bunch of stuff to cover tonight. We are going to be talking about Festival of the Lost. It's back. It's pretty familiar, by and large. Not a ton of new going on here, but enough, I think, to at least talk about for a few minutes. We're also going to be wrapping up what I started last week with Saint. We're going to be talking about the rest of the 30th anniversary weapons. We're going to the primaries and the swords. And there are a lot of swords. So we'll talk about all of those. Lots of weapons to break down here. All the Festival Lost guns. All the remaining 30th anniversary guns. And then we've also got some updates. You know, last week on the show, I talked to Saint about a TWAB that they put out that had some teases, some info forward looking about changes to the sandbox. And we talked about it. We recorded. I scheduled the episode. And then they go and put out a second TWAB providing more details before I actually publish the episode. So we got to set that right. We got to try to get some of those details added in. We'll see how far we get on that front. Before we dive into everything, I do have some folks to thank. And so we're going to start the show off as we always do by saying thank you to our sponsor Guardians. That's right. This show is brought to you not by a fancy chair or a sketchy drink mix, but by Guardians, just like you, dear listener. Guardians who happen to have the benefit to have a little bit of disposable income and see some value in what we're doing here in the products that we're putting out. And they are generous enough to contribute, to help pay for equipment, for hosting costs, help just to kind of support all of us who are putting some effort into making this stuff happen week in and week out. And I just want to say a very special thank you this week. I was recently, I talked about this last time. I'm going to try not to make it a habit to bring it up, but I was recently let go from my job as part of a larger layoff. And I shared that info and I'm kind of used to having a source of income to help support my family. And I don't have that right now. And the outpouring of generosity from you folks who are listening, who are supporting, has been really, really tremendous. And I just want to say thank you to everybody, everyone who's continued to support the show, everyone who has upped their pledge recently. And there are a bunch of you. I don't have a good way to like list out everyone who did that. So I apologize. I'm just going to say thank you, blanket, to all of you. I see you. And thank you also to some new patrons. This has been one of our biggest new patron weeks in a while. Four new folks joining the fold. So thank you so much to everybody. Without further ado, special shout out and thank you to our sponsor, Guardians, who give on a truly tremendous level. For one, Impetus, who's here on the show tonight. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it, sir. Truly do. Thank you also to the Shazzle, Sylve, Geolocating Shark, who's been a long time Discord member. Very, very helpful in the community. Does all kinds of cool stuff with us, with other communities in Destiny, making bots, doing awesome things. Now a very, very generous supporter of Massive Breakdowns. Starscream, This Moment, Black Hammer Tech, Binary Wolf, ZenSoCal, Askian Monk, and Deacon. That's right, Deacon. I did not forget you this time. I got you. And a special welcome as well to newly subscribing patrons, Mizaki, Tim, Hio, and JCP. I appreciate each and every single one of you. I appreciate your contribution to helping keep this something that I can justify putting time into every week, even when I'm, you know, maybe need to be trying to find a job or, you know, learning how to code so I can get a better job. Y'all are providing a justification for me to spend time on something that I love at a time when I certainly could be feeling some pretty serious stress and occasionally am. So thank you. Tremendous thank you as well to everyone who has left a review for the show. We don't have any new reviews this week, but we have hundreds of five-star reviews. And that's just feels so good to know that all that those good vibes are out there. So that when people do discover us, they see the value that you guys see. All right. Boom. Done. Like 5 minutes. Super, super sweet. Let's dig in to some of this phenomenal Destiny content. Impetus, I have been saying so many words. I feel like I've got to pass the mic over to you for a couple of minutes here while I drink some water.
Oh, please do. Yeah.
Let's dive into Festival of the Lost. I want to hear about your experience, you know, talk us through what feels overly familiar, what feels new and exciting.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Festival of the Lost. We didn't know this, but Bungie has decided to update. I guess they call them events now, even though they are kind of seasonal things, but they're seasonal means something else in Destiny 2, so we have to call them something else. So Festival of the Lost is our Halloween event coming around. We got an overhaul to these, starting with Solstice earlier this summer. We got an event card that's been a little bit controversial, but they're trying to make more of an effort for these once a year events, and so Festival of the Lost is back. The actual gameplay loop with the Haunted Lost Sectors still the same as it was last year, pretty much identical. But this time around, in terms of the weapons, which is what we're going to be talking about, we got some changes. There's been, of course, some shifts to the weapon landscape. We've got origin traits showing up on all of our new and reissued weapons, and then crafting, of course, has come around. We don't have crafting available for the event weapons, but they do have origin traits, and in some cases we've even got some updated perks, so that is exciting. That's kind of the new thing to chase. We still have Braytech Werewolf and the Horror Story. Those are our precision auto rifles, kinetic precision auto rifles. They're back. They've been around for several festivals now. Braytech is apparently the only one that got an origin trait and an updated perk pool. It looks like Horror Story is still the same. I haven't gotten one, at least, to drop with the origin trait, the new Festival of the Lost origin trait. So kind of an odd decision. Maybe it has been and it's just bugged. I don't know. Someone feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but
Jurassic did get an origin trait as well.
Yep. Jurassic Green. Yep. That's returning from last year's Festival of the Lost with the new origin trait. We'll talk about that in a moment. And then we have this year's new weapon, which is an awesome sniper rifle, aggressive frame, macabre. Little pun there on a fun word. I'm sure a lot of people have probably been mispronouncing that, but yes, it is pronounced Mekob. So very fun to shoot.
We actually we need to mispronounce it all shows. I hear you get a lot more engagement.
Oh,
that way.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. So the new sniper rifle is Macabre.
There we go.
Very fun to shoot. Cool.
Machaber.
Exactly. Machaber.
It's French. Yeah.
Yes. So those are our four Festival of the Lost weapons. We were joking about this before we started recording, but we're only going to talk about three of them, but there are four in total, so those are the ones that we'll talk about. But shall we jump right in with Braytech Werewolf?
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's take a look at the how it stacks up to its peers in terms of the stats.
So this is our Kinetic 450 precision frame auto rifle. It deals 31 to in a crit and 20 to the body. We are looking at an optimal TTK of 0.8 seconds. That is 7 shots. You need a crit percentage of 86%. That is 6 crits, 1 body. Your body shot TTK, a little bit longer, 1.2 seconds. That is 10 body shots to kill. I have not been doing a lot of Crucible with, well, I should say this. We've obviously had our mid-season patch go live with Festival of the Lost, so the meta has been shaken up pretty roughly. We'll get into that when we start talking about our TWAB changes, but yep. I'm very curious to see how this weapon stacks up to some of the more dominant options that have been making the rounds on social media with our new meta here. But again, 450s did get some changes to them. Again, we'll talk about that in the TWAB. So we can jump right into the stats here. We'll start at the top. We're looking at 69 range on the Braytech Werewolf. That is the highest by a pretty decent margin for our 450s. I'm looking here at the stats. It looks like Breakneck, which is the Gambit Pinnacle from many moons ago that has been sunset, that is the next highest at 64. So we got a 5-point lead there going to Braytech Werewolf. Going on a stability, that is going to be 41. Looks like that is... Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, it is 41. Yeah, so that is second highest... Third highest, is that right? Yeah, Breakneck again, statistically on top there. But we do have 45 for some more of our currently obtainable ones. It looks like Ahmet is at 45, and Shadow Price, I know that's no longer obtainable, still sitting there at 45. Moving on to handling, 39. We're starting to get a little bit lower now. There's a few more weapons a little bit higher, but again, they're all pretty neck and neck here. Shadow Price at 43 is going to be our highest option there. Am I reading that right? No, it's Ahmet, actually, at 46. Wow, I forgot.
Yeah, Ahmet's got pretty good handling.
That is so strong.
But I'd say the Braytech's pretty average. Ahmet's kind of an outlier.
Yeah, in some weird ways. Yeah, you're right about that. That is strong. Reload speed, again, not as big here. 42, that is on the higher end for sure. Again, you got Shadow Price at 47, and it looks like Firefright from the Leviathan last season at 44. So, again, pretty close in points. That doesn't matter a whole lot in PvP. Looking at 47 aim assist, that is the highest there. Again, it's just a 3-point lead amongst your other options here. And then we are sitting at a 74 recoil direction. That is killing me. Wish we were just 1 point higher for that very nice 75. But yeah, you are outclassed again by Breakneck and Shadow Price. It looks like Breakneck sitting all the way up at 80. So again, it's a pretty respectable range band there, not too far off from the leader. We have 34 in the mag size and an airborne effectiveness of 10. I don't think either of those are pretty remarkable. Again, it's a pretty small mag size for these weapons compared to our 600s by about a 6 to 7 bullet difference there.
And so I missed this. It looks like the reissued version has 15 airborne effectiveness.
Oh, it's higher. Okay.
I missed that on my first pass. So we'll have to double check these as we go through.
So again, Shadow Price, I think, is our statistical outlier here at 21 airborne effectiveness. And then Ahmet coming in at 20. You've got Firefright again a little bit higher at 17. I need to double check here. Does the new one does not come with air assault. So... that'll be interesting to play around with. I'm not too familiar with these lower airborne effectiveness values, how big that point difference can really matter at the low end. I feel like it's got to be pretty minimal, right?
I don't think it's a huge difference. I think most players probably can't tell the difference for over 5 points of airborne effectiveness.
Sure. Makes sense.
You know, and especially with an auto rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully you're landing bodies, like, just if you're pointed in the right direction, you know, that's all you can really hope for in the air.
Yes, I would agree with that. And then our final stat of note here is going to be the zoom. That is going to be 16. That is the lowest value for our precisions. Next highest, of course, is going to be 17. And then we do have the number all the way up at 20. And Horror Story, the only remarkable thing about Horror Story, it does come with scopes instead of barrels. So it can get all the way up to 22 zoom. Unfortunately, that's where the nice things that we have to say about Horror Story end. So We're not going to spend too much time talking about Horror Story compared to the perk options that Braytech rolls with in the reissuing. So, which is a shame, because I think Horror Story with the scopes could have been an interesting contender, but as Bungie has decided, they are investing in Braytech instead.
Yeah, buying that Braytech stonks.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's going up. I hear it's been going up for about 500 years. So,
all right, let's get into this, the actual perks here.
Let's do it.
We'll start off with our barrels here. So again, decisions, we're looking at that large range band. You know, you've got the option of pushing that out. Recoil direction of 74. This is, you know, the barrel column is where we can tweak around with that value if that's going to be an issue. Arrowhead break, you're going up to 100. You do get that little bump to handling. For some of you, that might be a necessary thing, a nice thing to have, an unnecessary thing. I think that's going to matter a little bit. 450, as, you know, I'm speaking here as a M&K player. I find that the 450s are a slow enough fire rate and 76 to be high enough that I don't find that to be too much of an issue for me. I think I'm at a point, especially with these automatic weapons, where I'd rather invest into stability to combat some of the flinch that I receive when I'm getting into my gunfights rather than having to worry about the spray of a particular weapon. But I understand for controller players that may or may not be a different issue. Have you felt like 76 is too low for you? I know you've talked about your approach to recoil direction many, many times. Do you find that that's manageable for you? Do you look at counterbalance or arrowhead for this?
I really don't. For a weapon like this, what I find is that if you invest in the right traits, the right perks for stability, mm-hmm. you can more or less ignore the recoil, because while the bounce may be unfavorable, the intensity is muted by having a very high stability stat. And so it ultimately ends up having very minimal recoil with the right perks.
Right.
Tap the trigger.
Yeah, yeah. that does definitely help. So in the barrel column, again, going off of thinking about our stability, you've got polygonal, right? That'll take you up to 51 stability if you really want it. We could go even lower to have some other kind of shift around some stats here. So small bore, that's going to give you 7 stability. Also going to get that range up to 76. I will probably, I might go fluted. Having that higher handling stat is going to be nice. So that will get my handling up over 50. Generally like to have those primaries in Crucible to have as much handling as possible. I'm very much a PvP player who focuses on consistency perks over lethality perks. I'm just not fragging out enough. My KD isn't that good that I can really spec all the way into damage. So I'm definitely looking at modifying my stats either before I go into a gunfight, while I'm in the middle of a gunfight, or even after a gunfight as I'm getting ready to engage with another player that might be coming up on me. So that's what I'm kind of looking at. Handling is definitely a big thing for me. Handling and stability, really. And I think especially with Braytech having the range stat that it does, I don't need to worry about that at all. So fluted, small bore, polygonal. Go ahead, Kip.
Yeah, so I would... I'm going to slightly disagree.
Oh, really?
And some of this comes from... I've spent a ton of time playing with Amit recently.
Oh, yeah.
And playing around with the different perk combinations. And so I... One of the things that Braytech has slightly against it is its zoom stat is 1.6, which is just a little lower than some of its competitors, like Amit, mm-hmm. you know, which I'm going to kind of, because it has 1.7. It's small, but meaningful. I feel like you could be, a lot of players I think could easily miss Hammerforged as a kind of a sleeper pick in the barrel column. That plus 10 range with no downside is going to make a... noticeable difference. That's going to give you a full extra meter of damage fall off distance from the hip, a little more than a meter while aiming down sights, puts you over 30, which, you know, just gives you a little more room to compete with hand cannons and a little closer to pulse rifles. You could also, if you want to get real crazy, you know, what I run on my Amit is extended barrel, even though it tanks the handling. You know, I just run dexterity mods mm-hmm. on my armor to make up the difference. But yeah, so you get that plus 10 range, and then you also straighten out the recoil a little bit, which is nice. You know, I'm not against adding points to recoil direction. That said, fluted barrel is just always super strong choice for a weapon that does not have good handling. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't fault anybody for taking it here.
And I think the important thing is we don't want to negatively harm the stability stat for this. I mean, we can touch for range. Sure. We can hurt handling, but stability definitely needs to stay at 41 here in the barrel column.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely does not need to go any lower than that, for sure. Fortunately, it's got ricochet rounds in the next column. So if you get
just
lucky,
about to talk about that.
If you get lucky, then you can you can even go, what's the perk I'm thinking of that does tank your hand? Full bore. I'm thinking of full bore. You could even go full bore if you want to really, really lean hard into range.
Yeah, so ricochet and full bore will get you some pretty nice damage fall off there. That's going to be 30 meters, 32 meters aiming down sights there. Definitely, you're gonna be dealing with a lot of pulse rifles at that range. I'm not at a skill level where I'd probably be comfortable going up against a peace of mind or a no time to explain on the PC lobbies with that kind of a weapon. But for those of you that do have that skill level, that experience, the option is there for you if it drops. So. Yeah, I'm going to be honest. Ricochet rounds is kind of the big one that I'm just looking at for column three. I think far and away that's going to be the most valuable for me. I guess if you want to keep touching either range or stability in little ways, you know, flared magwell, light mag, most of the stat bump there is going to be to the reload speed, which isn't going to be as optimal.
Yeah.
You've got the magazine, the actual magazine perks, extended, alloy, appended. I'm not too fond of those in PvP settings. I guess if you feel like the magazine size needs to be a little bit higher for you, it's there. Alloy mag, of course, going to be helping when you run out of bullets and need to get a quick reload if you're going from fight to fight. But yeah, extended mag, I know it has now an additional effect with airborne effectiveness. Still just not a perk that I'm really thrilled about, either in PvP or PvE, outside of very specific scenarios when I'm trying to proc certain perks. But really, that's only in PvE under the right circumstances.
Yeah. I think it's basically kind of those top three choices in the column: the light mag, flared magwell, or ideally ricochet rounds make the most sense here.
Now we get on to the fun stuff. Column three is where we start getting the random perks. We've got a few new ones. Unfortunately, let me pull this up real quick so I can look at what was not on the weapon anymore. So we no longer have Mulligan. We no longer have Underdog in column three. There was a perk refresh last year as well, so I'm not going to go through all of what was changed there, but they've added some interesting options. So what we do have right now, Under Pressure returns, Slide Shot returns, we have Dynamic Sway Reduction in Column 3. Our newer ones, I think Subsistence was on it last year as well, I don't think that's new, but the three new ones that we have, we've got Pugilist, Well-Rounded, and Compulsive Reloader arriving in Column 3. Again, I'm such a big consistency person. It's going to be really hard to pass up Dynamic Sway and Under Pressure. I think Pugilist is definitely going to be interesting when we talk about a specific damage perk that shows up in column four. But again, the thing with Dynamic Sway Reduction is that there's also another perk in column four that pairs really well with that. And I'm more a fan of that combination than I am with Pugilist and the melee damage perk appearing in column four. So for me, it's going to be Dynamic Sway, Under Pressure, probably a close second. Slide Shot could be interesting for a very aggressive playstyle. You know, getting that bump to the stability and the bump to range, definitely going to help you be really aggressive with this weapon if that is something that you're into. But I think Dynamic Sway is just always there in the back pocket, kind of waiting to proc as soon as you get into that gunfight. That it's just so tempting and hard to pass up. Well-Rounded.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's cool. It's not a bad perk, but I think compared to some of the other options in Golem 3, I'm not considering it too much. Same thing with Compulsive Reloader. That's not, reloading my weapon faster is very rarely a concern for me in the Crucible.
Yeah, I think it's tough to pick for PvP. I think it's really tough to pick anything over Dynamic Sway Reduction in this column. There's just nothing else in there that consistently removes bloom from your auto rifle. You know, and that's just such a massive benefit on an auto fire weapon, you know, plus 10 stability, but that's like, people see that like, oh, it's only plus 10. It's like, yeah, that's like the little icing on the cake. It's the cake underneath, the accuracy getting better as you hold down the trigger instead of getting worse. That really makes that perk just S tier.
Yeah. And especially if you're leaning into that full bore ricochet rounds combo, you're going to want to make sure that you can really land those shots at the ranges that that barrel and mag is letting you hit. So Dynamic Sweaty. Yeah. I mean, just, yeah, it appeals to so many different ways. It's such a great perk. So that's definitely my number one go-to. I'm going to be keeping an eye out for that when I get drops of this, as it is showing up for me. Moving on to column four. Very, very interesting combination of perks here. So I won't go over what's new and what's not. We'll just kind of go through the list here. So Gutshot Straight, obviously a new perk this season. So that is one of our new ones. We've got Vorpal Weapon showing up. That is an older one, I think. Under Over, Tap the Trigger, Kill Clip, Swashbuckler, and Osmosis for good measure. So a lot of interesting synergies here. We were talking about Dynamic Sway. You've got Tap the Trigger there as well. That's going to be such an obvious peanut butter to Dynamic Sway's jelly. We've got Swashbuckler. Oh, yeah. Great for pairing with Pugilist. Gutshot Straight. I can understand. Some people have very strong opinions about Gutshot Straight. I'm not too sold on it. How are you feeling about it?
So I like it on specific weapons.
Yes.
For this weapon, I do not like it. Mm-hmm. It is essentially just an aim assist penalty for the precision AR specifically. And I say that because, you know, your base body damage is 20. This pushes it up to 22. And that does not affect your time to kill in any meaningful way for the majority. You know, doesn't help your optimal.
Yep.
Doesn't help your body. It does make the accuracy-adjusted time to kill slightly easier to achieve. So it's still 0.93 seconds either way. Without Gutshot Straight, it's 4 crits, 4 bodies. With Gutshot Straight, it's 3 crits, 5 bodies. You're spending a whole perk and giving up a third of your aim assist for that. And that just, you know, doesn't sell me. So I think if you're looking for a damage buff here, Kill Clip and Swash are both phenomenal. They'll both give you the same net bonus with, you know, with different triggers. You know, if you can max Swash with a melee focused build, you know, we've talked a lot recently about running your freeze everything stasis warlock setups in PvP being a very effective counter to a lot of the craziness going on with the 3.0 light subclasses. Fantastic way to activate stasis or swashbuckler. And Kill Clip, of course, is Kill Clip. We all know how it works. Get a kill, get a 33% damage buff. Both of those are going to take your optimal time to kill closer to half a second and make it like an accuracy adjusted time to kill of 0.67 seconds. Very, very achievable. Yep. With a 50% accuracy for crits. So super effective. You just really only kind of a sixes choice, right? Not really a good choice for threes. Or if you're focused on dueling, because you're just not going to be able to chain it very effectively in those settings.
Yeah. So again, I think having those options for range is definitely going to be useful. It just feels like these larger maps that we have this season are favored so much more. As I'm playing my Crucible going into sixes, I feel like I'm on so many bigger play spaces than I've ever been before in Crucible. So for me, it's definitely looking at that range stat, thinking, okay, well, do I want to try and gauge at longer spaces? If I'm using an auto rifle versus a pulse rifle in these maps, what can I do to make sure this auto rifle is a laser beam? So, again, Dynamic Sway, Tap the Trigger. You're gonna be aiming right where you want to go, firing right where you want it to go, and that's gonna be so huge when you got peace of mind and no time for me, at least on M&K, still running rampant even with the changes and the tweaks that have happened.
Yeah, and the stability buffs are helping you with flinch.
Yep.
In addition to moderating the recoil, moderating the aim assist degradation. I'm sorry, the accuracy degradation. I guess we don't know for sure if it moderates aim assist degradation, but very, very helpful. You know, so and this is why I say, you know, hey, you know, consider full bore. Mm-hmm. So full bore, if you can get a perfect roll, full bore and ricochet, your base stability is still at 41. You pull the trigger. Tap the Trigger and Dynamic Sway Reduction both activate. You get, you know, that first shot, you're getting a sort of an, you know, essentially 40 stability. And then it climbs up to 50 stability until Tap the Trigger goes away, at which point it drops back down to like 51 for those final few shots. But at that point, you've hopefully hit everything you need to hit and your accuracy cone has shrunk back down to the initial perfect accuracy, or close, as close to perfect as the gun can get. accuracy thanks to dynamic sway reduction. So you don't need that stability to be quite so high because your bullets are going in straight lines. And so, yeah, that's kind of the mechanics. That's why every time I see that combo, I say, yes, yes, please. So good.
And as you're playing on these larger maps, you may be next to your teammates, you may be straying away, and if you happen to be straying away, the origin trait for Festival of the Lost Weapons may kick in. This is called Search Party. This weapon is granted faster aim down sight speed and movement speed while aiming down sights when no allies are near. Very interesting. I read the description and I immediately thought about, I wonder if moving target shows up on any of these weapons, because that seems like a pretty straightforward pairing there. Would have been kind of interesting
to see. Big strafe buff.
Yeah. Or Killing Wind, for that matter, after getting that kill. Just thinking of all the different things you can stack with it here. But yeah, again, if you're engaging at those longer ranges, maybe you have a teammate next to you, maybe you don't, depending on if you're, trying to capture a point or taking up a sniping position, looking down a lane. I feel like this origin trait will proc. I mean, you can definitely, I don't think you have to go through a lot to make it proc if you really want to take advantage of that ADS speed. So yeah, definitely an interesting perk that I think will help this weapon as a precision auto rifle more than harm it. And definitely.
Yeah. I think that this perk really is excellent for small team situations as well.
Yep.
Where you're much more likely, though it near is kind of one of those keywords where it usually means about 15 meters. We don't know for sure yet, but that's kind of commonly what it tends to mean. And again, we don't know the other bonuses. I'm not going to speculate on how much faster the aim down sight speed is. If it's, purely, kind of like a handling buff just for ADS, or if it's a scalar, the movement speed, we don't know. Is it like moving target where it's a kind of a percentage of the penalty is removed? Probably, but we'll have to come back to that in the future. But suffice to say, a lot of good stuff going on. And all you have to do is probably be, like 20 meters from your friends, which is a great place to be in an age of Arc Titans just falling from the sky constantly.
A little touch of thunder coming after you. Yeah.
Yeah. I always feel safer when I'm at least 20 meters from anybody. At least then it's a solo super and I didn't take somebody down with me. So.
Yeah. Oh, man. No comment there for me. Not even going to touch that.
I mean, no hate, Arc Titans are having their day.
Mm-hmm,
and I'm not going to say that I'm not participating.
Yeah,
I'm playing Titan for the first time in 5 years. So 4 years. I don't know. Long time.
Welcome to the club. I know Saint's going to be thrilled to hear you say that. So
yeah, it's still my least played class. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
That is true for a lot of people in this community. All right. I think we should briefly touch on Horror Story. Again, the perk pool is not updated in any significant way for this. It does not have the Search Party origin trait, just got scopes. That's really the one point of distinction here, which is a shame because it did roll with moving targets. So that would have been a really, really fun weapon to test the Search Party stacking with, to see if it was of any significance. But we don't get to do that this time around, so we're not going to worry too much about it.
Rifle scope SSF is, I think, the best.
Mm-hmm.
Just to throw that out there for people. Super high zoom, doesn't tank your handling. There you go. Horror story done.
There you go. All right. Are we going to move on to Jurassic Green?
Let's take a stroll down the Jurassic Green, shall we?
Okay. This is our solar rapid fire pulse rifle. Pulse rifle's definitely having a moment right now. I think it's pretty safe to say this is kind of their meta. It has been for a few weeks, definitely this season. It's looking like it's still going to be that way for now. So let's see how Jurassic Green stacks up here against other rapid fires. So that is a 540 rate of fire, looking at a crit of 24 and a body shot of 14. Optimal TTK is 0.8 seconds, 9 shots with an 89% crit. That is going to be 8 crits and 1 body in a 3 burst. And your body shot TTK is going to be 1.47 with 15 bullets, body bullets to kill in a 5 burst. Looking at an impact of 23. Stat-wise here, I'm seeing a lot of red. We've got a range stat of 27, and that is the second worst. Yes, that is the second worst. Yeah, that is, oof, that is not great. Looks like highest is going to be, is that right? Yeah, oh my goodness, 34 for Darkest Before dropping from Prophecy here. And that is definitely a difference here. Looking at the stability stat, that is 41. That is the lowest.
Terrible.
Lowest by a good bit here. Highest is going to be 49. Got a few with 49, 48, 47, 46. And then we jump down to Jurassic Green at 41. Handling of 19. Ooh, even worse. Even worse. A lot of 27s. That's going to be your highest of the handling amongst the rapid fires here. Jurassic Green not caught up there yet. Moving on to reload speed. I wish I could say it gets better. Nope. 27. Definitely lower. We've got everything else in the 30s for reload speed. Aim assist, we're starting to get a little bit closer to everyone else here at 76. That is not the worst, but we do have higher stats here at 80 and 82. Looks like Chattering Bone's going to be your... is that right? No, Peace of Mind. I apologize. Sitting at 82 there for the aim assist. That is definitely one of the stronger rapid fires. And looking at recoil direction of 50. That is definitely the lowest here, going all the way up to 64 again at Peace of Mind. But most of them are sitting in the 50s. It's 50 or 55 going up to 60 and 64. So definitely going to need to be addressed, I think, for a lot of players. Probably want to touch that stat. Magazine size of 36, pretty standard. Airborne effectiveness of 15. Now, is that one correct, kid?
That one got updated.
That one has been updated. We're looking at 15 there. That is second highest. That's
pretty okay for a pulse rifle.
I'm actually kind of surprised by that. That's not too bad.
It's just the reissue, though. The old one was 10.
Oh, the old one's 10. Okay.
Yeah, that did change with the reissue.
Interesting. Highest there, of course, is going to be 17. So, yeah, respectably close enough. And then we're looking at a zoom of 17. That is competitive. Again, Time War Inspire from the Iron Banner could get scoped, so that could go all the way up to 23. Being an Iron Banner weapon, the amount of people that probably got the right scoping per combinations on the weapon is... Okay, all right, rub it in.
Yeah, jeez, that's me.
Yep.
Yeah. I've talked about it before. The max Time War Inspire can outrange Messenger.
Yeah.
It's stupid. You do have to it has horrible, horrible handling though, so there's the cost and horrible reload. But can shoot like 60 meters or some ridiculous number. peace of mind for most people is going to be the peak with 18.
It's craftable.
That's the achievable peak.
Definitely having its moment for sure, but it is in a different slot. So that is important to know. Of course, that is a kinetic rapid fire. This is our energy rapid fire, solar specifically, and there are a few solar specific perks showing up in column 4 that we'll touch on in just a moment. Let's jump into our barrels here. So again there's a lot of room for improvement here. I'm probably looking at stability. I'm definitely looking at recoil direction. I want to get that up a good bit. I'm probably going to throw counterbalance mod on this unless I get really, really lucky or if I just get used to the feel. But arrowhead break here, you're going to be looking at an 80 recoil direction. Going to give you that handling stat a little bit of boost, but you're going to need a lot more than that. So handling would look at 29 with arrowhead break added on there. Yeah, do I go fluted on this? Honestly, I probably would just because I need the stat bumps. But man, the problem is with the recoil and the stability. It's like it's a 1-2 punch there of just not a good combo. I feel like I need to hit both for it to become usable. And especially with some of the perks that we have in column 3, you can get some stat bumps kind of just by playing the game, being in Crucible, perpetual motions on here. So that can help out a little bit with the feel of the weapon. So I'd probably really push towards arrowhead break. But if I couldn't get arrowhead break to drop, fluted's definitely going to be an option for me. I'd probably settle for polygonal, honestly, just to start working on that stability, get it up over 50 for me. Because I feel like when a weapon hits over 50, that's when I start kind of really starting to click with it. So I don't know about you, Kat. How do you feel when you look at the stat spread? What jumps out is I need to get on that.
When I look at the stat spread for Jurassic Green, what I say to myself is I really need to craft a peace of mind, or get a better grid skipper. you know, if you want the energy slot, it's brutal. It's brutal out here for Jurassic Green trying to compete with these guns. You know, you can throw, if you're trying to hit everything, trying to get a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. I like chambered compensator. You have to accept that something's going to be bad on this gun. Something's going to be really horrible, and it's probably going to be your handling, because ultimately something's got to pay the price. And if you can't shoot the gun, it doesn't matter how fast you can swap or aim down sights. So I like chambered comp because it pushes your stability up, bumps the recoil to 60. And if you then throw a counterbalance mod on, you're at 75, which is completely acceptable.
Yep.
It's not great, but it's totally, totally acceptable. You know, and then at that point, obviously, you really need ricochet rounds to come in and help you out with even more stability, a bit of range. From there, perpetual motion is I think, probably like an A-tier pick here. Mm-hmm. It's given you stability, which you desperately need. It's given you handling, which you need even worse. It's given you reload speed, which is just going to be terrible. You know, it's whatever. But it's also got rangefinder in that same column. And that's even post nerf, rangefinder is still really on the cusp of being S tier on almost every weapon, which is why it needed to be nerfed, because it was just it would have been a non-choice had they not just reduced the aim assist fall off buff. That extra 30% that it was giving you is now just the 10% that it should be giving you. That said, an extra 10% zoom reduces the effect of recoil by 10%, pushes out your damage fall off by 10%, pushes out your aim assist fall off by 10%. Really difficult to say no to that. I don't know that, you know, the 5 to 15 points of stability, 5 to 15 points of handling. See, the thing about perpetual motion, right, is that 5 is really easy to get to. Mm-hmm. Getting that times 2 stack, like, you got to be really conscious that you don't stop moving, that you don't hold still when you're capping a zone, when you're trying to bait a corner, when you're in your menu, which is nothing you can do about, because you turn it off and then you've got to wait 10 full seconds to get it back. So you really have to be mindful. If you are that player, then I think perpetual motion competes with rangefinder just for that big stability buff and the extra handling. But if you are not super mindful in the Crucible about keeping it up all the time, then rangefinder is the choice that's always there for you. Never fails. 100% of your engagements, 100% of your shots, it will be helping you. And you can't put a price on that. I mean, you can, but...
And the scope, too, for this is just a wonderful, wide open, very clean, you know, great to look down. So I definitely, you know, wouldn't blame you for wanting to keep using it with rangefinder, but... A mobile pulse rifle user is one of the most annoying players to deal with in the Crucible. So, yeah. I mean, you make compelling arguments for both of those perks. Really, it's you know, depends on your play style. I'm probably going to look at perpetual, but, you know, rangefinder can be just lethal. Goodness, in the right hands.
Yeah, just that extra little touch. It doesn't seem like it's going to be a lot. And a shout out to Yvonne for so much work doing math, doing testing. To figure this stuff out, but throwing rangefinder on is going to give you an extra 4 meters when you're aim down sights. Go from 32 to 36. That's where I say, gosh, you know, a little more stability, a little more handling, those things are nice, but also 4 extra meters of combat effectiveness is very nice too.
Mm-hmm.
So
got to keep that touch of thunder storm grenade away from you as much as possible.
Yeah. You want to be playing as far away from those people as you can.
Well, thankfully, we have some really interesting damage perks to kind of help keep those Arc Titans away from us and prevent them from closing the distance quickly. So, got multi-kill clip, frenzy, and then some of our newer ones here: incandescent, golden tricorn, adaptive munitions, gutshot straight, and then adrenaline junkie does return. So, there's plenty of options here for both PvE and PvP, which is nice to see with just a 7-perk column. But I know Frenzy was definitely a popular option last year when this weapon debuted. Adrenaline Junkie, of course, can be very potent. Golden Tricorn, you know, we've got Solar 3.0 out. I would imagine with, like, say, a Solar Hunter running trip mines, if you want to spec into the grenade part to get to times 2 Golden Tricorn, or if you wanted to go all the way into throwing knives.
Yeah.
throw on some Athrus Embrace, just do some around the corner nastiness to players. It's quite doable. I mean, you are running around with a very strong damage perk proc at times two Golden Tricorn, provided you do get a kill with this weapon first, of course.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, and I don't usually think about rapid fire pulse rifles as a weapon that I'm farming for PvE purposes. Mm-hmm. But this perk column really makes me think, gosh, this gun feels like it was built to have just loads of PvE options, because yep. a lot of these perks are way more effective in PvE. Adrenaline Junkie, far easier to work with in PvE. Really easy to get some massive damage buffs there. Gutshot, honestly, going to be a lot more helpful in PvE than it is here, because... So I guess here's the thing with Gutshot straight on rapid fire pulses. It doesn't help your top line. Your optimal time to kill is more or less unaffected. Your accuracy, just the time to kill, is a bit easier, but not a major effect. It does really help the body shot time to kill. Knocks two shots off, which is a pretty big difference. Makes the body shot time to kill a time that you could actually hit before somebody dashes, dives, you know, ducks around a corner, whatever crazy movement tech. You could conceivably hit them before they get out of the way. I'm not sure it's worth it, though, if given that that's all it's doing, and then it's taking, you know, so much of your aim assist cone away. Feels like a heavy price to pay to be more successful at being a bad shot. Mm-hmm. I look for Gutshot to really make like those optimal times to kill much better, which it does a much better job of on sidearms, on SMGs, other weapons that are doing lower amounts of damage, I guess, per shot. I don't know, just the math just doesn't quite work out here. Incandescence, phenomenal. Love it. Yep. It's hilarious in the Crucible. It's not... Not super effective, but it is very rewarding to watch someone explode after you shoot them.
Yeah, and if they got a teammate near them and they start getting that scorch to tick on them, they run around a corner, you can follow the tick numbers going off so that you can have some temporary true sight in a way, which can be helpful in some circumstances. Probably not going to proc that a lot, but it's fun to watch just a bunch of white numbers slowly move around your screen from behind a structure.
If you're really leaning heavily into Scorch and you're playing in sixes, then, you know, more power to you. I say I have an incandescent drang that I run all the time in sixes. I love it. It's super fun. So I've got nothing against it. But ultimately, Golden Tricorn is the easiest of these perks to activate in the Crucible, and the one that is guaranteed to make a difference for you. And that's just really, really difficult not to choose. So it improves basically everything in terms of time to kill. It takes your optimal down to 0.73 seconds. Make sure your adjusted time to kill 0.8 seconds with 5 crits and 4 bodies. So just barely over 50% crit accuracy, which is really the reasonable expectation for most players with this gun. Spend some time practicing, and you can reliably probably hit about half headshots. And that's going to get you a 0.8 second time to kill, super competitive time to kill. Makes your body time to kill 1.33 seconds, which Gutshot can do as well. But, you know, we don't want to rely on just tagging body shots. So ultimately, it's just the most helpful perk in a column full of perks that are really better in PvE.
Yeah, we'll have a little bit more to say about Jurassic Green on Podcast Versus Enemies.
I think so, yeah.
as sometimes is the case. So
I'm going to be curious to hear, you know, is this the first rapid fire pulse I can take into like a Grandmaster? I don't know. Probably not.
Mm. Yeah, I won't spoil my thoughts. We'll have to wait for that episode. But
we'll save it. We'll save it.
Yeah. All right. I think that's everything we have to say for Jurassic Green. I guess we can move on to our incorrectly pronounced Macabre.
Yes. Macabre. Let's talk about this Mishab, shall we?
Yes. This is one of the prettiest looking weapons, I have to say. This is an aggressive ARC sniper rifle. Let me scroll down here to find you. We are looking at a 72 rate of fire. That is a crit of 474 and a body shot of 158 damage. Body shot TTK going to be 0.83 seconds with 2 body shots. Impact of 90. Looking at our stats here, again, we'll start with range. It's a nice story on the range front, and then it stops being a fun story as we start going through the other stats. So looking at a range stat of 74, kind of right in the middle, looking at the band here on the upper side, we've got 78 and on the lower side got 72 and 70 from Bite of the Fox specifically. So again, not much to say there, right in the middle. Moving on to stability, again, Aggressive Frames, not known for having a lot of stability. This is actually a pretty good story. Again, we're still got some good things to say about stats. We're looking at 28 stability. Highest is going to be 29 on Occluded Finality, which is our other ARC aggressive frame sniper rifle that is not sunset, although Occluded Finality, I believe, is no longer acquirable. It has been removed from the Iron Banner loot pool. So if you are a fan of ARC aggressives for PBE, you should definitely be getting into the Festival of Lost to farm this out, because this is your only option. But that's a story for another time here. So again, 28, highest is 29. We've got a few 27s, but we start to drop down into the lower 20s, and then we hit Silicon Aroma all the way down at 17. So this is definitely going to be a pretty decent stability-wise sniper rifle compared to our other aggressive frames. Jumping on to handling here, highest is going to be 30. We're sitting at 26. Not terrible, not terrible. Lowest is going to be 20. It's Frozen Orbit all the way down there. So middle of the range, not terrible, not great. Reload speed, we're getting worse here. Looking at 30 reload speed, lowest is going to be 25. That was Bite of the Fox. We've got 27 again with Silicon Aroma, and then kind of the upper to mid 30s. There are a few other 30s, Revoker, Frozen Orbit, sitting right around there. So it's kind of lower to middle of the band there. Inventory stat of 45, aim assist stat of 41. That is tied for the lowest with Bite of the Fox. Unfortunately, it's going to be upper 40s for the rest of the competitors, peaking out at 48 for a few of the weapons here. Mag size is 3. Airborne effectiveness, not that this is super notable. Is this one updated, Kit? Because I'm seeing the highest airborne effectiveness of all of our aggressive frame sniper rifles.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is brand new. So
whopping 5. We got Silicon with 4, and then the other two are so low we don't even need to talk about them. So good job, Macabre. Lowest zoom here is going to be 45. Now, I know I'm not much of a sniper, but I know that's a pretty good number when it comes to zooms. That can be pretty competitive here. So I think that's probably one of the more appealing options for a sniper rifle. So
yeah,
good thing to note there.
Yeah, it's low enough to give you a pretty decent sight picture. Not necessarily so low that it's hurting your aim assist.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's pretty, I think it's kind of a sweet spot. It's also high enough that you're still, you know, and especially with that range stat, you're going to be able to hit pretty much anywhere, pretty much any lane. You know, maybe you could find some lanes on some of these big new maps we have that you couldn't have full aim assist on. I know people always manage to find these lanes. You're so far away that you actually are outside of sniper range, but you're going to have to work for it with this gun.
And it is worth pointing out that among the energy aggressive frame sniper rifles, this is the lowest, although the kinetics, there are a few options, obviously Revoker being the lowest there, but Bite of the Fox beat it out at 43, as did Silicon Aroma. So
yeah,
this is our lowest zoom energy aggressive frame sniper rifle.
And I know a lot of snipers like to choose their snipers based on the specific zoom stat that they prefer. And there's always every point of zoom actually does matter, and you can tell the difference. So unlike the majority of stats. So something to keep, always good to keep your options in mind. Now you've got another one, and everybody got a really good roll. I hesitate to call it a god roll, but it's a very good roll.
Yes. Go do the opening quest for Festival of the Lost all the way through. You will get a macabre from Eva at the end, and it's got snapshot opening shot, which is definitely a pretty spicy combo. I think the barrel, mag, and masterwork are probably where some people are getting into fights online over whether or not it's a god roll, but you got two pretty important perks in column 3 and 4. Yeah, give it a spin, see if you like the zoom, see if you like the roll, and take it from there if you want to go farm for a better one, I think.
Yeah, firmly agreed. I don't think you can complain too much at that point without coming off kind of entitled. You know, if you don't like it, just play more. But gosh, it's if you don't feel like playing anymore, it's good enough.
Mm-hmm. Before I jump into the barrels, I do want to say that I think it's pretty safe to say that the Search Party, our origin trait, was very clearly made for this weapon.
Yeah,
you are probably going to be proccing it pretty frequently if you're a committed sniper. Obviously, the whole point of that playstyle is to find an angle, preferably away from your teammates, so that you can get picks against enemies, whether you're in sixes or threes. So search party is definitely going to be that faster ADS speed is definitely all the difference in getting that first headshot, especially if you're going up against other snipers. So definitely, if you're into the sniping play style, take advantage of that origin trait, take advantage of your column 3 and 4 perks, because it's all going to be working for you in the end.
Yeah, firmly agree. Firmly agree. Really, really solid origin trait for this weapon. You know, you add that on to snapshot and opening shot, and I think it almost doesn't matter what the rest of the gun has. Yeah. It's going to be really solid. People are going to disagree with that statement, but look, if you want to chase the 6 out of 6, you know, by all means, you know, I'm not standing in your way. But I think for the majority of players, this is going to be the best roll that they're going to get on this weapon. And there is absolutely no reason to be upset about that. So what are, looking at the barrels, I'm always a big fan of fluted barrel for that nice, big, juicy handling buff. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, all the folks I've talked to who snipe, I don't think I've ever heard anyone really prefer any stat on a sniper more than handling. Aside from perhaps the making sure the zoom is the right level or close enough to the right level.
Yep.
You know, so I think that's pretty much hands down the top pick. Arrowhead breaks a decent second choice with plus 10 handling. But yeah, can't go wrong with either of those. In the magazine slot, there's unfortunately not a whole lot that really does much for you in terms of the Crucible. There are great choices for PvE here. If you want to add some rounds to the magazine, that's always nice to do on a sniper. If you want alloy mag to get those that massive reload buff when you empty your magazine, also always nice to do. Those just don't really do it for you in the Crucible. I like flared magwell just because it's a massive stat buff, boosts the reload speed. Alloy mag is also a decent choice, I guess. You know, if you do empty the mag, you don't reload, but the next time you pick up stuff, you get a 15% scaler to reload the weapon. So that is very helpful. That's a bigger buff than flared magwell. And, you know, if you're really concerned with sniping at the complete back of the map, then I guess there's accurized, but I don't know. That feels like a reach. Let's,
what are your thoughts on steady rounds? Do we want to hit the range stat a little bit for a stability boost, or are we going to shy away from that entirely?
I just don't really see the point.
Okay.
You know, the only reason I would want steady rounds is to buff the airborne effectiveness. And at that point, I would probably rather just take extended mag.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going for the floating sniper build, then that feels like the right choice. And just, you know, who cares about reload speed at that point? But yeah, I don't think stability is a great pick on a sniper. If you miss your first shot, you probably need to get out of the lane for a second.
Definitely the case now with the flinch changes, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Rather than trying to two tap without moving, that would be my play. Professional snipers may disagree. I'll leave it to them.
All right, moving on to column 3. This is where we get into some fun stuff. A lot of really good options for both sandboxes here.
Yeah,
starting at the top, perpetual motion, gonna be again for probably a very aggressive play style, either PvE or PvP. Triple tap. That is definitely a PvE tried and true sniper approved perk right there. Snapshot, PvP sniper approved perk. We've also got no distractions. Another sniper PvP approved perk. Clown cartridge, again, great for PvE. Auto loading holster, great in both sandboxes, depending on your playstyle, especially with the reduced ammo economy in PvP. That's always nice to have the sniper get bullets back into the mag kind of while you're running around cleaning up kills with your primary. And then we round it out with fragile focus. I think we can say this is probably unnecessary, given that it's a sniper rifle. Don't really need the plus 20 range.
Your accuracy cone is already a straight line. You know, range plays a bit into that, but having more range on a sniper here is not going to do anything for you. it's just a dead perk. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, definitely for an aggressive frame.
I'm not sure what the I guess, you know, maybe they've got to have some bad perks in there to let the good perks shine even more. I'm not sure.
Oh, goodness.
Maybe there's something behind the scenes that we don't know about where that extra range actually is good. I don't know. But yeah, I feel like no distractions and snapshot are far and away the picks for the Crucible. Snapshot, especially if you are already pretty good at sniping, is only going to make you more effective. 25% scaler on your aim down sight speed. And no distractions, of course, if you are playing more of a passive laning strategy, that 35% flinch reduction is even more valuable now than it used to be.
Yep. Yeah, and once search party procs, you can get to no distractions quicker, which is going to be very useful, especially in a 3v3 game mode. So very, very close competition between snapshot and no distractions there for proper sniper.
Yeah, I think search party actually makes no distractions slightly more viable of a choice because you're not giving up quite as much. You've still got a little bit of a scaler or some kind of a buff. I shouldn't say scaler. We don't know exactly what it is. Some kind of a buff, proving your aim down sight speed. So you're not entirely giving up. But you do have the option to just go full in on big ADS improvements if that's what you want.
Yeah. All right, column 4. Again, pretty interesting mix of PvE and PvP perks. Yeah. We'll start off with Vorpal Weapon. This is going to be our PvE damage perk. Unchanged, was tweaked on heavy and primary weapons, but still 15% for special, still very strong. Opening shot, I don't think we need to talk about this one too much. The tried and true, definitely strong perk in PvP. High impact reserves, I remember a time when this on an aggressive frame sniper rifle paired with a few damage buffs, we could turn into body shot bandits out there in the Crucible. It's gotten harder to do, but not entirely impossible, so I think that playstyle probably requires a little bit more commitment now, but it's still there. Moving target. This is, I think, what I was looking for when I saw the search party origin trait. Going to be very strong, especially if you pair it with no distractions and search party. Get all three of those procking. Can be very, very powerful. Really just truly take ownership of that lane.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to challenge you.
They may try.
They got to be quick on the draw. Yeah, that's what it would take. Swashbuckler, I've seen some stat theorists kind of get a little excited about this one. The body shot potential in particular when we hit that x5 swash is appealing. I think that's a goal that some dedicated snipers want to go chase. More power to you. I will probably never hit that on purpose ever for the rest of my Destiny career, but it is there.
It is there. Yeah, swash x5 takes it to about 211 damage. On the body shot, I should say specifically. Mm-hmm. Swash x4 puts it pretty close. Let me see if it's enough here. Let's check the decimals. Should put it just over 200.
Okay.
So I believe it's going to body everybody. It's always a little sketchy when they're really, really close because I don't always know exactly how far the rabbit hole goes in terms of the decimal. On the base damage, and so it's possible that it falls like 100,000th shy or something. So don't sue me if you somehow get swash x4 going and it doesn't kill somebody.
Clip it and send it straight to KitKat.
There you go. Just slide into my DMs.
Exactly. The nice thing is with this being in the energy slot, if you wanted to commit to that melee combo, you could have your Braytech Werewolf with Pugilist Swash up in your kinetic slot. You can have your
Cryosthesia
with
If you want to get lean fully into that stasis melee slaying, you can run all the freezes and a Swash Macabre.
And I hope I never have to play against you. So there is that play style.
Yeah, it is there, and it's real viable. Real viable.
We got two more perks here to talk about in column 4. Slick Draw. No, this had been interesting to some people. I personally don't see the value when opening shot, moving target. I won't be able to take advantage of Swashbuckler, but Slick Draw is going to be ranking pretty low down on my personal list. Kit, I don't know how you feel about it, but the buff to handling is obviously going to be nice. But again, when I have Snapshot in column 3 and I can proc search party somewhat consistently, the ADS speed is taken care of. So at that point, it's just my stow and my draw speed that Slick Draw is going to be helping me with. So
yeah, this is a perk that is specifically designed for those 1% snipers who actually don't need the help. You know, whether they're clicking or they just have thumbs that have been blessed from on high, they don't need the help. And that massive handling buff makes them just that much more lethal. So it is not a perk for most people. It is very powerful, comes at a price. You know, one way to find out how good you are at aiming with a sniper is to play with Slick Draw. That's the test. If you can still hit headshots, then you're actually a good shot. If you can't, then it's the game helping you. And you just that, you know, some people will take that test and they won't be able to admit it, that it was the game all along, that the magic was not inside them. And they'll get very upset. So be aware, if you play with Slick Draw, it will reveal your weaknesses if they're there.
And if there are no weaknesses, I look forward to seeing your montage on YouTube, because it's going to be very entertaining to watch.
it's going to be, those instant going from not having a sniper out to being ADS'd in very few frames. Going to be real impressive.
Our final perk here, this didn't initially show up in the databases, so I think this kind of came as a surprise to people, but we have Volt Shot for the ARC 3.0 synergy. So, I know, again, some people are really excited about this. The Volt Shot, of course, requires a reload, which in Crucible is not something, with our current sniper ammo economies. Again, when I think of perks that are consistent, this is going to be really low down on the list. You got to be really fragging out. I think what Kit said about, you're probably not going to need this perk. if you're getting kills reliably just to go for that Volt Shot, you're probably just doing a montage. You don't need the help for the jolt damage, even though it's going to be fun to proc.
Yeah, I think it's just too much effort. You could be playing the game on easy mode instead.
Mm-hmm.
That said, for PvE, in terms of being able to use a sniper to kill adds, I think Volt Shot is a phenomenal perk. Normally, it's just that's something that using a sniper to drop adds most of the time is not a choice that you want to make. But it's now kind of doable. Thanks to the effectiveness of Jolt in PvE, which is, in my experience so far, pretty great.
Top tier perk.
Yeah.
Great perk.
Super.
Love those damage over time perks.
Super fun to watch.
Yes, definitely very fun. So we'll have more to say about this on our podcast, but good synergies here for both PvE and PvP. Snapshot opening shot, I think, is the one that everyone's going to gravitate towards for good reason, but I'm personally interested in that. No distractions, moving target. Get search party to proc as well and just lock down a whole section of the map and until I come across the one person in my lobby running the Slick Draw Macabre and I just get outplayed immediately, but I wouldn't be mad. So
yeah, the only counter to a good sniper is a better sniper.
Exactly.
And that's the way it goes in the Crucible. But yeah, I think pretty safe to say, if you can pick up, fluted barrel, alloy mag, snapshot, opening shot, that you don't really need to look any further than that for just an S-tier PvP sniper rifle that also is doing enough damage to be a threat to a lot of supers. 474 mm-hmm. to the dome is not nothing. And so that's Macabre. Really, really, really good. Really good addition to the Festival of Lost drops. I'm sort of disappointed that they gave away such a good role, because there is no chase now. Like, it's not that I don't want to chase. It's just that I don't want the chase to be excessively grindy.
It's hard to go after better barrels and mags, which is what we have now after getting snap opening. So definitely they're just not as sexy as those Golem 3 and 4 perks. So
yeah, it's a little tough to chase just for those. When there are so many weapons to chase right now, we're spoiled for choice. Mm-hmm. That's whatever complaints somebody might have about the state of Destiny 2 right now. I think it's fair to say that there are a lot of weapons worth pursuing. And if you don't have a lot of weapons worth pursuing, then you have probably already pursued them. And good job. Pat yourself on the back, because that's probably a lot of work and a lot of luck.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been my experience so far. Well, Festival of the Lost, what else can we say about it? Not much. Go play the game. Get pages. Go play the activity. Get other pages. Turn them in. Get stuff. Pretty simple. Pretty straightforward. The Headless Lost Sectors, Haunted Lost Sectors are super easy.
Yep.
So not a complicated loop.
What is not quite as easy would be our dungeon that we're going to be talking about, and the primary weapons dropping from that. Aes Luna, of course, dropping from the Grasp of Avarice dungeon added in the 30th anniversary pack. Theirs of Eternity, of course, very fun. That actually is easy, even on the higher end. So we'll touch on BXR Battler as well, one of my favorite legendary weapons in Destiny right now. But yeah, I think we should probably start with Aes Luna, since it's definitely a competitive hand cannon in a time when hand cannons are getting kind of edged out of that top spot there.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's getting to a point where only the top-tier hand cannons are going to remain top-tier, and we're going to see the rest of them disappear from the top 100. Well, what can you say about Aes Luna's stats? They're the best. When they're not the best, they're so close to the best that it's sort of not super important.
Yeah.
And that's more or less the summary that I could give, right? We've got 51 base range, which is the best for the Adept. 64 base stability, which is the best.
Mm-hmm.
49 base handling, which is above average. Not the best. Dire Promise had 57. That's a bit of an unfair comparison because it was a 150. Fatebringer's got 55, sitting in good company, competing with a raid weapon. 45 reload speed is, again, above average. 80 aim assist is on the higher end. Fatebringer does have 84. Rose, if you want to go that route, has 85, but otherwise much worse stats. So 80 is really hard to complain about. It's a ton of aim assist. 96 recoil direction, super, super controllable. 11 in the mag. 10 in the airborne effectiveness, unless that's changed on me. No, it's still 10. They didn't change that. I wish they had. But Aes Luna does not need the help. It's the bee's knees, man. It's just so good.
Nice, clean scope to look down, or sight, I guess I should say. And it does have sights instead of barrels, so you can really play around with stats here. Play around with them in a positive way, too, and not a lot of negatives coming with those sights, but the stat bump, of course, is going to be a little bit smaller than your barrel options here. Personally, I feel like we can say avoid sure shot, as that does come with a pretty hefty hand penalty to your handling and stability. Minus 10 of those, but you get a little bit of aim assist and then plus 10 range. No need to go that route when you can go something like true sight for small bumps to a bunch of things, or even if you wanted to hit mark for not quite the full 10, but a 5 plus 5 to your range and a plus 5 to the aim assist. I think that's probably, if you want to spec into more distance, that's the route you go. But for me personally, it's true sight, steady hands. I just love more stable, faster drawing, faster stowing, faster aiming down sight hand cannons. That means so much to me. So steady hand is the one that I'm definitely going to recommend. Fast draw, again, if you want to get that handling all the way up to match the stability, you definitely can go that route, but I just kind of like having a little bit of a bump to the aim assist that steady hand provides, so that's definitely my pick. But yeah, I mean, there's just some good options here in your sights column.
Yeah, I think if you have either fast draw or steady hand, it's hard to go wrong. They're both super good. The difference between them is pretty small, just a slight preference one direction or the other, and that's down to the player. Whatever you like a little more of, get it. But if you have either of those and the rest of the gun is good, then I wouldn't worry too much about it, right? You don't, like we said, chasing on sights or barrels, and the sights on hand cannons are closer to barrel perks than your standard sights. They don't have zoom, so probably a pretty painful hill to die on.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Ricochet is really hard to argue with in column 2 for the mags. Like, hard to say no to that. Flared magwell's fine. You know, anything that buffs the range is also fine. But if you can get ricochet, then it's game over.
Ricochet and steady hand, you're looking at a stability stat that's the same as impact at 84. Your aim assist would be at 85. You got three pretty big spikes here, and we haven't even gotten to columns 3 and 4. We haven't even talked about a masterwork. I mean, that is a very spicy stat spread right there. It is, the dream. I've been trying to farm Grasp of Avarice. I did a lot of it when it came out back in Season of the Lost. I didn't get this specific role, but yeah, it's appealing. Even without this does not have an origin trait. These were not updated, but frankly, it doesn't need it. I mean, it's still withstanding the competition than having a whole extra perk that a lot of other newer hand cannons, including Ostringer, has, Doesn't matter. Aes Luna doesn't care. Still a monster. Still great. It's a stasis weapon on top of that. A lot of good things to say about this gun. Shall we get on to column 3? Start getting into all the fun combos.
Let's do it.
There really isn't a bad option here. We'll start at the top. Unrelenting. probably more of a PvE perk. We can definitely spec into that with some damage perks and comp 4. Rapid Hit, just a tried and true great option for all sandboxes. Heating Up, this is, for me, this is probably the weakest option, not because Heating Up is a bad perk, even on this gun. There's just stronger competition elsewhere. Outlaw, again, by no means a bad perk. Does pair really wonderfully with a damage perk in Comp 4, but there's just some more appetizing options here. Perpetual Motion, now we're talking. Get those stats even higher. We can start giving, you know, Adept Palindrome a run for its money here. And then in the final option, Rangefinder, Column 3, always love to see it, always a strong option. And even with the changes, you know, you're really just pushing that range out all the more. We go from just under 30 to just under 33 with our 33 meters aiming down sights with Rangefinder. And that is, again, we're in a pulse rifle meta right now. You're going to want to duel those ranges because you're going to need that range. You can compete with a lot of the more popular options that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, what my advice is definitely to go for Rangefinder in this column. Some of these other perks are going to look attractive, and top tier hand cannon players, highly skilled hand cannon players, you know, obviously are going to use their own discretion. If you're looking to get into play more with hand cannons, Ice Luna is a really great one to get your hands on. You do have to play Grasp of Avarice, but there are a lot of great perks, and so it's, and you know, the perk columns aren't huge. Mm-hmm. So it's not the worst chase. And Brightside, you know, I feel like Grasp is a pretty fun playthrough. Maybe not the 100th time, but you know, certainly the first 20 or so. I think it's a good time. Lots of optimization you can do to get it done faster. So it's a good time. And Rangefinder is just, I've already gushed about it. I'm not going to do it again. It's really good. And it pairs.
All right, let's get on to column 4.
Yeah, I was going to say it pairs super well with a perk in column 4. As there's a lot of good pairings. A lot of good pairings.
Yes, we love to see that. Starting again at the top, Headstone. This is a stasis weapon. Again, in PvP, I think Headstone's, it's fun in sixes, but it can be a little bit strategic and a bit of a tactical play in threes if you're doing trying to deny a res, you know, get that headshot. The ghost is completely encased in ice, can make it very hard for your teammates to get that revive off for a few seconds while the crystal's still there. So, you know, it has a place. I've definitely seen it used against me and by other people. You may not find a lot of value out of it. It's definitely shines a lot more in our PvE sandbox, but it, you know, it's something to be aware of. We've got Demolitionist in column 4. I'm never really excited about this perk. For me, Demolitionist shines when it's in column 3 and I compare it with, you know, something like Golden Tricorn or Adrenaline Junkie to get some natural pairings, or if I can just pair it with something else like a consistency perk.
Yeah.
So, you know, not a bad perk. Again, just it's in the wrong placement, and there's better options here in Column 4, like Moving Target. Really, really strong, especially with Rangefinder in Column 3. You're already going to be aiming down sights, taking advantage of that range, the natural range, and then whatever boosts you get from Columns 1 and 2. Especially if you got Rangefinder on, I mean, you're just going to be having buffs left and right. You're going to be getting a lot of help hitting those headshots.
Yeah, it's a solid pick. It is for sure a solid pick. We've got some damage perks too. We've got Kill Clip and Harmony. Kill Clip obviously is a natural pairing with Outlaw to get those very fast reload speeds. Harmony, a natural pairing with Perpetual Motion, because they both can activate while the weapon is stowed. You can get a kill with your shotgun, with your fusion rifle, with your sniper rifle. And as long as you've been moving, Perpetual Motion is going to be active, buff your handling, allowing you to draw Ice Luna faster and start going to town with Harmony. Activate that 7-second window with that 20% damage increase and an extra 15 handling. Going to give you better ADS speed because you've got Perpetual Motion and Harmony both active for a total of plus 30 handling, which very nearly maxes the gun out, depending on what you have elsewhere. So super, super good combination there. And then Snapshot to round it out is, I think for a lot of hand cannon aficionados, just the S tier perk on a hand cannon. You know, they say, you know, your ADS speed is your time to kill. Now, whoever gets the first shot to the head off wins the fight. And Snapshot helps you do that. 0.5x animation multiplier on a primary, cutting your ADS time in half. It's huge. It's hugely powerful.
cannot say enough good things about this gun. I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say it's kind of a must-have if you're looking to get good in PvP, especially if you're considering hand cannons. This is one of the best options. You know, when I think of the other dominant 140s, we do have a craftable one in Awestringer from last season. You know, if you're able to go craft that, go for it. Obviously, Fatebringer is still around from Vault of Glass, does have an adept version. It's a stat monster. It's got a very competitive perk pool, but you need to go do Master Vog if you want to go get the adept version, or you just need to get lucky with your drops doing the regular version if you can get a team together. Ice Luna, you know, you only need two other people. This drops from the boss of Grasp of Avarice, so you can farm the boss over and over again for drops whenever Grasp is in our dungeon rotator. It's a very quick farm when you get effective at it. You get two chances at an Ice Luna from the boss defeating it in a clear, so you can get a hold of it pretty quickly. And again, you've got six perks in column 3 and 4, so the chances of you getting a decent roll when this drops is actually pretty high. I feel like this weapon really does respect your time if you choose to farm for it, and the stats are certainly going to make it feel like a dream when you start specking into the good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's roll on here, because we still have a good amount of things to talk about, and we're getting deep into the episode now here, time-wise. And I know you're excited about this next one here.
Oh yeah.
This is a callback, a reference to glory days of yore. And yeah, I'm gonna let you fully take the lead here. I'm gonna rest my voice for a couple of minutes.
All right.
Talk to me about the BXR 55 Battler.
This is our battle rifle from Halo, making a debut, making an appearance in Destiny, of all things. Very welcome surprise when this dropped from Tears of Eternity almost a year ago. So this does fire at 450 rounds per minute, but it has a legacy frame, is how they describe it in-game. Dramatically increased accuracy, stability, and targeting while hip-firing, which is very nice, and we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get into perks, but let's start with our stats here. So this will deal 26 in a crit and 16 to a body. We are looking at an optimal time to kill of 0.87, and that is going to be 8 shots with an 88% crit percentage, 7 crits, 1 body in a 2.67 burst. Looking at a body shot TTK of 1.33, body shots to kill is going to be 12. That's 4 bursts. Impact, 27. Again, that's going to be the same for our lightweights. There's going to be a little bit of overlap here, but then there's also going to be some differences when we get to our stats here. So we're going to start off with the range stat. Got great news here. We're looking at 50. That is the highest by a decent margin. My goodness. Looking at the lightweights, Ogma, Chattering Bone, they're down in the 30s. So huge, huge gulf here in our stat already. Moving over to stability, that gulf does close down, but Battler's still on top, 59 compared to 52 for the other two lightweights that are available. Gulf pretty much disappears by the time we get to handling, but BXR Battler's still on top, 71 compared to 70. Reload speed, again, same story here. 63, that is the highest, but it is tied with Chattering Bone from The Last Wish, and then you have Ogma down at 55. Aim assist, we're back up on top, 85. Comparison here is going to be low 70s, 71 and 73. So really, really, if you haven't picked up already, this is the lightweight style pulse rifle to use in PvE and PvP. Rounding things out with recoil direction 70, and our comparisons are mid to high 50s. So again, huge, huge difference in the quality here. Magazine size 36, still on top. Airborne effectiveness is a 10. That is actually tied for lowest. We do have 15 on the Ogma PR6, and then we have a zoom of 20. That is highest. Ogma sitting at 19, and Chattering Bone sitting at 17. So my goodness, there are so many wonderful stats. Stat monster for sure, without a doubt, and that's without taking into account the frame, which is going to be giving you even more help when you are hip firing this weapon, and it is a dream to hip fire. My goodness, we'll jump right into the barrels. I don't want to spend too much time because I could spend a lot of time talking about this. Recoil direction of 70. This is a craftable weapon. You can get this with 5 red borders, make this, customize this however you want. So you can be specific as you like here. I've put Arrowhead on my crafted version, got that recoil direction all the way up to 100, so it feels nice and crisp, and sitting at an 81 handling with that plus 10 there from Arrowhead. I see a lot of different recommendations here. I don't think you can go in a wrong direction. Maybe extended barrels a little too much here, full bore, you know, unless you really, really, really want to spec into range to make this a dueling weapon. You certainly can, but you've got Hammerforge there to get you up to 60 if you want without hurting any other stats. You know, again, this is up to you. The stats, especially stability and handling, they're already so high compared to our other lightweights. If you want to take some penalties to them to really push that range out, go for it. But again, range is pretty high already, so there's not really anything like needs to be addressed in terms of getting that stat even higher. So feel free to look for, you know, make some tweaks, some tunings, figure out what works for you. Really, any of the barrels are going to be great. You can't really go wrong here. With the magazine, we've got Ricochet here. You've also got Accurized. I think those are probably the ones that everyone's going for. Get a little bit of a boost there. Make the gun feel even better. Ricochet is always great for getting those bounces off the wall. That can be fun in PvE and PvP. Light mag, flared magwell, alloy mag, just not needed. Same thing with steady rounds. No need to hurt your stats for stability. You can work on stability in some other ways with your barrels if you really want. I don't think the steady rounds is needed in the same way that Ricochet can just give buffs for absolutely no penalties. Same thing with Accurized. Moving on to Calms 3 and 4. When this weapon first debuted, it was not crafted. It did have some perks that were removed when it was added to the crafting system. So there are some roles that people may have that can no longer be acquired. We won't spend too much time talking about them. We'll focus kind of just on the updated perk pool and the origin trait that this now has. So we'll start with Column 3. We've still got Outlaw. We've still got Killing Wind. We've lost Auto-Loading Holster. We have Perpetual Motion, Demolitionist. We have lost Snapshot Sights. We have Pugilist, and we have Heating Up. For me, Perpetual Motion is kind of the one that really stands out, again, strictly for PvP. I know I talked about how I love having Demo in third column, and I have a few PvE roles with Demo in the column 3. I love it. I think it can be very strong if you want to take this into PvP for a Demo build, but Perpetual Motion, Killing Wind, those are the ones that I love. I'm always moving around with this weapon. You know, you do get... you're kind of encouraged to be both aim down sights and then hip firing with the frame bonus. So I'm kind of always mobile. I'm always strafing. Makes sense, you know, to have Perpetual Motion, just getting those stats even higher. Killing Wind, if you are able to get kills consistently, get your movement up, get that range up, get that handling all the way maxed out at 100 when that procs, going to be very strong. Make it a very dominant weapon. I have died to this many, many times this season since it was added to the crafting system. And it's almost, I almost always see Perpetual or Killing Wind added on there. Pugilist, again, this is a solar pulse rifle. If you want to go a throwing knife, a throwing hammer, celestial fire style, you certainly could. I think there's definitely a gameplay loop, a build there if you want. But for consistency's sake, it's Perpetual Motion and Killing Wind that really speak to me here. Moving on to column 4. Oh boy. All right. So we do have blunt execution rounds. This is another Halo throwback here. Damaging nearby combatants with melee abilities dramatically increases your handling and damage, but it expires for a short duration or after the next shot. With this being a burst weapon, it's that first burst. So it's a very short window for a lot of damage, 100% damage for 10 seconds or until firing. You got a 4-second cooldown. You can proc up when stowed. Again, if you want to lean into a pugilist, blunt execution rounds play style, it's there. You know, you can put it in your montage. It's going to look cool. It feels great to proc the perk.
That's why I was waiting to say, as a... As a Caliban's hand lover,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I see that combo and I'm just like, oh, yes. Yes, please. Yeah, blunt execution rounds is a 100% damage buff in PvP. It's massive. It is only on the one burst, but that's a lot of damage. And really difficult to say no. You know, taking your body damage from 16 to 32 in that burst makes a single body burst deal 96 damage. If you catch one crit, you know, they're for sure dead on that single burst after you've meleeed them. So it's really, really quite a fun little loop that you can get into, but doesn't work every time. You know, you have to make sure you're within that 15 meters. It's a short window of space that you have to stay inside to make it work. And it is worth noting. I don't, Did you mention the sprinting, sliding, and slamming melees?
I was getting to that. Yeah, okay. Not everything gets to proc blunt. You really there's a pretty high activation window for the fun, but
sorry, Titans.
You get it to work.
Yeah. It feels really targeted.
Yeah, but 100% on PPE damage. I mean, I think the trade off is certainly there. But yeah, so sprinting, sliding, performing a slam. That's definitely hitting Titans. Obviously, the Warlocks with their new arc melee, the sliding is you're not going to be able to take advantage of that. So, just make sure that you're on the right melee. You really have to think about all aspects here for this to really go off. But
Warlocks have a lot of good short range melees for activating this, though. Booping enemies away from you and then one bursting them with your BXR. I mean, that's awesome.
There's definitely a natural pairing with Ophidian aspects. Like we Warlocks needed any other reason to run that exotic. So, all right, let's get on to the other perks here in Column 4. Eye of the Storm, obviously an S tier perk. That's definitely what I'm going to be looking for when I get my crafted up, leveled all the way. Kill Clip, again, really strong. I don't think we need to say anything more about Kill Clip. It's proven its legacy. Adrenaline Junkie, no longer on this weapon. Cannot craft one with AJ, so if you got that to drop as a random roll, hold on to it, play around with it if you really want. Demo was also there in Column 3. There's definitely a playstyle there for PvE and PvP. Elemental Capacitor, that's still around here. Bunch of buffs. Again, with a stat package so high at base, I feel like some of these perks aspects can be overkill, but I'll never say no to 100 in a certain stat, especially if I'm going to be using this for consistency on a specific subclass element. I can understand it, but Eye of the Storm is going to be enough for me. Rangefinder has been removed, so if you did have a rangefinder roll, hold on to that if you really like that increase in zoom. Added Gutshot Straight and Incandescent. Again, I think probably more PvE oriented perks down there. Definitely useful. I have a PvE roll that I've crafted for Demo Incandescent and Pugilist Incandescent. I've talked about it on the show before. I love those weapons. They're very strong on solar subclasses, but if we're just looking for the most consistent across all different classes, all different play styles, I really think Eye of the Storm, Kill Clip, and then potentially Elemental Capacitor, depending on your subclass, going to give you some huge dividends here. Just absolutely a powerhouse of a PvP weapon.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Eye of the Storm is really, really difficult to argue against, especially because it does pair perfectly with Hot Swap, both triggering when you take damage, which is, of course, one of the most common events in the Crucible, whether it's because you hit some geometry at a weird angle or because you got shot. Very often, you're going to be taking some damage. I hate to sound down on Gutshot Straight, but I feel like the weapons we're seeing it on so far this episode just are not prime candidates for the gut shot treatment. I specifically have been abusing it recently, just not on any of these guns. And I'm not going to get into that right now because that's a whole other can of worms. We don't have time for that. Gut shot, again, makes the lower end times to kill slightly more achievable, improves your body shot time to kill, doesn't otherwise do a whole lot for you here. So I'm gonna say probably not worth your while. On BXR, I would agree. Stick to what you know works, or play around with blunt execution rounds. But yeah, the new hotness is not so hot.
Hmm. And the nice thing is, when you do craft this pulse rifle, you have two starting out perks in columns 3 and 4. One of them is Killing Wind in column 3, and the other is Eye of the Storm in column 4. So you've already got a very spicy roll right off the rip when you go to craft this at last. So get into Dares of Eternity, get those Red Border weapons to drop, and enjoy. It's really all I have to say about this pulse rifle. It is a gorgeous weapon. The scope is so clean. It's just a joy to aim down sights. And if you don't want to aim down sights, well, guess what? The frame is going to be helping you hip firing. Very consistent. Even in Crucible, when you're taking shots, getting flinched, it's still pretty much as much of a laser beam as you could be without having a perk helping you out there, like hip fire grip, which isn't even present. So, yeah. Oh, so many good things to say about BXR.
Yeah.
Kit, do we want to move on to the swords here real quick?
Let's take a quick stroll through the swords. I want to start with Hero of Ages from Grasp of Avarice. And, I don't have a ton to say about this weapon for PvP. It's not a standout, largely because it's not an Eager Edge sword. And it's just like, Unfortunately, if you kind of run a sword in the Crucible right now, and it kind of needs to have Eager Edge to really stand out. It does have Assassin's Blade. Sword kills boost movement speed and damage, which is nice. It used to be, you know, the recommendation for sword in PvP. It's just been fully superseded, and is what it is. It's got Tireless Blade, so you can get a little bit of ammo back, get a little extra kill in there, and that's really kind of it.
Yeah, more of a PvE weapon for sure. Kind of made a bigger splash there with some of these perks. You know, Chain Reaction, very fun to proc in PvP. Probably not the most consistent, effective.
I will say if you can catch a group with it, probably pretty cool. But
nasty surprise, yeah, for sure.
if you get an Eager Edge and Chain Reaction somehow on the same sword, then we're in business. Then we're talking. Mm.
Well,
Hero of Ages,
I guess sort of the way there not with the one. Half-Truths. Yeah.
All right. Talk to me about Half-Truths.
So we do have Eager Edge. We do have Chain Reaction, but they're in the same column. So still got to pick between one or the other. Again, for PvP, Eager Edge, just close those distances quickly. Get to that Guardian, kill them quickly with that sword swipe, I think is kind of been the play that we've been seeing so far with Half-Truths and the other half, which are the only two swords with Eager Edge. Half-Truths, of course, has it in column 4, so you cannot run a damage perk with it. The other half is our infamous purple sword, has it in column 3, so you can pair it with a damage perk here. If I look at column 3 for Half-Truths, Tireless Blade, I think, is probably our go-to here. Eager Edge over to an enemy, you know, if you're picking up heavy and you are start getting a shot, or you start getting shot after you picked up, you get hot swap maybe to proc as you whip out the sword, swipe immediately over with Eager Edge to a Guardian, get the kill, immediately get ammo back with Tireless Blade. You know, that's definitely a viable gameplay loop that can happen. Swords, very strong, very quick, very hard to prepare, especially if you don't expect the Eager Edge coming to you. It can be a little janky, so I think that's probably your best play right there.
Yeah.
Moving over to other halves, unless, Kit, you've got something else to add about Half-Truths.
Nope, nothing else to say, not much to it.
Yeah. Other half here, definitely going to be the rarest weapon. Everyone that will drop from you from here on out will be red bordered. So at least, and it only takes one red border to craft. So that is nice. But we do have Eager Edge in column 3. So we can pair it with one of 4 damage perks here. Gotta be honest, for PvP, it's Frenzy, right? Or Vorpal Weapon if you're trying to sword swipe a Guardian in their super.
So, people tell me that you can get Frenzy active pretty easily in the Crucible, but it does not feel reliable to me to keep it up. And having to wait 12 seconds to get a perk active, like 12 seconds where, especially with a sword, where 12 seconds where I'm probably taking damage, mm-hmm. just seems like a really big ask. I can't get behind it. I just can't get behind it. I feel like you almost have to take like Vorpal. Or go into some crazy abilities gameplay loop with Repulsor Brace where you like debuff somebody, you know, maybe you're a hunter and you smoke somebody and then you come swinging in with Eager Edge and you get yourself an overshield.
One of my worst nightmares right there, a player rushing at me with a sword and an overshield at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's certainly something there if you wanted to go that route. You know, and you can smoke and then swap in and go into that instant Eager Edge. So it definitely works. But do you just want to take the extra 10% damage to supers with Vorpal to ensure that you get that kill? Maybe maybe that's the option.
Yeah. Wish I had more to say about this for PvP, but the perk pool just did not skew that way, unfortunately.
As long as you've got Eager Edge, that's really all that matters.
It's true. Yeah. It's pretty straightforward, pretty simple. Get Eager Edge, profit. All right, sir. I think that's our 3 swords, and I think that's the primaries and the finished Dares of Eternity 30th anniversary weapons group.
It is. And so that leaves us just a tiny bit of time to speed run a little bit of info from the TWAB.
Mm-hmm.
Big changes to economy coming in the pipeline. How are you feeling about those?
Good. Absolutely. Yep.
Me too. I looked at the numbers at first and I was like, boy, those don't seem super high. And then I was like, oh, glimmer buffs. Right. Okay. So those are fine. You know, run a couple of heroic public events with a maxed out glimmer buff ghost, you know, you're still scoring. You know, somebody was like, oh, I don't want to do five heroic public events to buy a trials card. I'm like, oh, actually, I think you can probably do two and get pretty darn close. So that's not too bad. You know, run in, you've got, of course, the activatable in your inventory. I always forget the name of it, even though I use them every time I play.
Oh, yeah. I can see the icon of it in my head, too. What is that called?
Yeah. Needless to say,
players know what we're talking about.
Stack up your glimmer buffs and you can, you know, run two heroic events and probably get 50,000 glimmer in the span of like 15 minutes. Like that's fine. This is mm-hmm. fine. This is good. I won't miss planetary materials.
No.
All right. Enough about that. Mid-season weapon tuning. Lots of small changes. I think people looked at these and thought some of them were bigger changes than they actually have turned out to be. That's been my impression.
Yeah.
Auto rifles getting some buffs and feeling very good to me. I do dabble in the AR playstyle in the Crucible. It's not really been high end for a long, long time, but they've been very, very popular in the lower echelons for many years now. Will continue to be because they're just so approachable as a weapon type. But the precision frame AR is getting big buffs to recoil effect. The higher stability stats are going to make a huge difference. 20% less recoil at the high end of stability. And the crit damage went from 30 to 31, which makes everything... So it doesn't really seem like it does a lot, right? It's so small, you don't really see any changes in time to kill and ease of use. But what it does is it makes them take really well to damage buffs. That extra point on the crit means that suddenly even Radiant is changing the time to kill and is making your accuracy adjusted time to kill faster without losing any ease of use. So it's a small touch, a small nudge. I think there's some understandable fear that if you make a rapid fire weapon too powerful, suddenly it becomes the only thing in the sandbox. But I think this is a good nudge for auto rifles. Bows got a little bit of a nerf. This is a small nerf to the bow blinting playstyle. I honestly expect to see another nerf to bow blinting in the future. This is small enough. I think at the high end, perhaps it's enough to make a difference, but maybe not. In terms of lower skill players, I don't think this is enough. Somebody who gets decent at this, in the mushy middle of skill, if you get decent at bow blinting, it's going to be hard for people to fight you, even with this change. People who aren't landing all their headshots are gonna suffer. And so I think we might see another change. I won't be mad if I'm wrong though, because I do love to bow blint. Pulse rifles getting some changes. Generally speaking, I guess I can't really say it's not really just nerfs, not really just buffs. It's a little bit everything here and there.
Yeah, it's a tweak.
Yes, they're getting tweaked. Handling stat effects are being changed. At the high end, they're up to a maximum of 5% extra. At the low end, handling is 2% less effective than it was. So it's kind of a broader scale of effectiveness. Handling is now much more meaningful on pulse rifles. We've got the damage falloff scale being adjusted based on the range stat. So the low end is now lower by a meter. Adaptive pulses getting a little extra damage. This does allow adaptive pulses to kill tier 4 resilience guardians with two bursts in 0.6 seconds. So low resilience guardians, you have been warned directly by Bungie. They went out of their way to let you know. So, you know, you can't complain when you start getting two bursted by adaptives. And then peace of mind got nerfed. 19 zoom down to 18, still super good. I think they'd have to take it down to 17 to even come close to bringing it in line. Honestly, the problem is the other rapid fires are just super weak. And changes to other guns have just let rapid fire pulses kind of rise to prominence. High impact scouts got a bit of a nerf, but it's not a super meaningful one. Body damage going from 42 to 40, crit from 73.5 to 70. Really just ensuring that you need to hit three crits unless you've got some serious damage buffs going on. So I think that's a good thing. Jade Rabbit doesn't need the help.
No, it does not.
The big one.
And, stealing the spotlight here for all the wrong reasons. Sidearms have had their auto-aim fall-off distance increased by 30% across the board. They also wanted to kind of touch on rangefinder appearing on sidearms. I think Bungie felt like they were running into a situation with snipers and snapshot sights, just kind of a mandatory perk for being a competitive sniper, in the same way that rangefinder on sidearms kind of has to make the weapon competitive in the mid to high skill bracket. So they are trying to help out with not making rangefinder as mandatory on sidearms. This can't remember what exactly has happened with this change, but it hasn't gone through all the way.
So the rangefinder nerf somehow didn't get loaded into the patch.
That's what it is, and it's now stacking with this new buff.
Yeah. So sidearms for the longest time, and not non sidearm enjoyers won't know this, but for the longest time they have been the only primary weapon whose aim assist fall off was prior to their damage fall off, which made them significantly hard to use because, you know, at that short range, you have to kind of play very aggressively. You have to be in motion a lot. And when the aim assist is off, it gets tough to land your shots when you're trying to bounce around somebody who's trying to shotgun you or fusion you or SMG you, you know, or shoulder charge you or any of the other number of things that work in that sub 15 meter range pretty effectively. And so now they've just given them that parity that all other primary weapons have always had. And then fortunately, because rangefinder is bugged, this is now being felt like, oh, sidearms are super, super strong. And I think two things are going on right now. One, sidearms got a big buff, the biggest buff of this patch. Mm-hmm. And people are trying out sidearms for that reason. And two, rangefinder is bugged. So like, let's not get convinced we're going to be in a long-term sidearm meta here. Are sidearms finally good? Yes. Are they unbeatable? No. So, you know, just let us sidearm enjoyers enjoy our sidearms for a little bit. Rangefinder is going to get nerfed, and we'll see who sticks around on the sidearm train after that.
Yeah, the bandwagon sidearm users. You know who you are.
I can't hold it against them. Sidearms are fun. They're super fun to play with.
I'll have to get on that train. I do not have a lot of sidearms. I think they have a peace bond with rangefinder. I might have to give that a spin just to see what everybody's talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Have not had I can go make a drink, so I guess I could spec into that if I really wanted to play around with that. That is definitely a statistical outlier.
Get real dirty and just go run that peace bond with your falcons. Two tap guardians from way too far away and just bathe in the salt. Oof. Yeah, that's the life I choose. I run the Boda Kassi with Gutshot and your falcons. To precision, I go full range, just screw stability, forget about aim assist. I don't need it. Give me all the range. Four bodies to kill a guardian. It's hilarious. There, I talked about it. And there's been some other changes. SMGs got some changes. Precision frame SMGs got buffed, more damage. But then Shire's Wrath and Friction Fire got their zoom nerfed to kind of trade off, since we know, of course, which precision frames people were mostly going to be using. Antiope is still a thing. It's still there. It's still broken. At least it's sunset. Lightweights got nerfed, a little bit less damage. It's enough to make a difference. Will it end the reign of the lightweight SMG? Perhaps. Any other big changes that you caught that you feel like we need to mention here as we try to wrap this thing up? There were so many.
I think the big one would probably be sniper rifles, since that is definitely I've seen clips. It's going to be interesting to see how this one plays out in the long term. So obviously snipers have been a pain point. They can be very oppressive to play against for a number of reasons, especially if you're going up against a very talented sniper. So Bungie's decided to intervene a little bit here, and they have made a few changes, kind of mostly revolving around a flinch that is received by the sniper specifically. So they have increased the settle time after receiving flinch by 60%, but they are reducing flinch received in PvE to kind of offset this. And they have even come out and said that they're going to be making a similar change to linear fusion rifles next season. So hopefully that can maybe make a dent in our Arbalest and Lorentz driver usage. I know those are still strong, still annoying, but they definitely want to encourage people to, they're aiming down sights, you know, laning with a sniper rifle, they take a shot, they should not be able to keep doing what they were doing before taking damage and then get a kill, as that has been a pretty consistent thing to do for talented snipers up until this point. So it's definitely harder to land shots. I think, you know, only the very best snipers can probably still stay in a lane, but you have to be pretty confident in your shot. You know, maybe duck in a cover, peek back out a little bit before you take that follow-up shot if you miss the first one. But I think this should probably hit enough snipers to hopefully make it not as oppressive in the day-to-day games in the Crucible playlist. But again, this is very much a time will tell kind of a change. We will see how things play out. People are already reacting to it. Some people are taking it a little too far on social media, but again, you know, the change has only been live for 48 hours, but I think we can all agree it definitely something needed to happen.
Yeah. I think this is a good step in the right direction. I think we're all looking forward to Arbalest and that which shall not be named on this podcast, getting the same treatment or very similar treatment in season 19, perhaps harsher treatment. I think some people are advocating for harsher treatment at this point, and that's fine. I'm okay with that.
They've had their time. They've definitely had their time.
They've had their time and some other weapons time and a little bit more time. It's about time. It's about time they got nerfed. So again, they've been nerfed so many times. People just keep using them. But that's how it goes. So, all right. Well, I think that's plenty. There are some other changes in the TWAB, but I don't know that we need to get into them today. I'm sure hopefully everyone has seen it. Recommend you read through the whole thing if you're curious. Lots of stuff getting tuned one way or the other. Lots of good changes, but a lot of them are small incremental steps, bringing stuff closer to line. Then they wait, they see how it plays, they make another step if they need to. So I think we're slowly inching our way toward a pretty good sandbox. Impetus, any final thoughts today on everything we've gone over?
A lot of interesting stuff. The weapons from Festival of the Lost, some of you may not be interested in them. I still think there's some pretty interesting combos to go for, again, for PvE and PvP. We've got those precision auto rifles. They've been tweaked. It'll be exciting to see how the stability changes impact them in PvP, but you know, Braytech's got some pretty competitive roles, so if you want to go chase that kinetic option, you definitely can. I think it won't let you down, you know. If you do not like it, it's probably more just the reaction to how you handle precision auto rifles more than the weapon itself. And of course, the sniper rifle is definitely got the best roles possible for a sniper rifle in the energy slot of the aggressive frame. So a lot of chase, you know. And as for the dungeon, the Dares weapons, I mean, what hasn't been said about those, then, you know, we can say right now they're very desirable.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, we've covered a ton of ground here, virtually two episodes worth of ground in one. So Impetus, thank you so much for your time, for joining me. I'd like to have you go ahead and take another moment here and just remind folks, where they can hear more from you, where you hang out in the Destiny community. Yeah. Take it away.
My name is Impetus. I am one of the hosts for A Podcast Versus Enemies, the other Destiny Massive Breakdowns podcast where we cover the PvE sandbox. And so we do everything from weapon breakdowns, TWAB reviews, to overall sandbox reviews, but then also activity breakdowns. We're covering Grandmasters right now. We're in the middle of the Grandmaster season for our Pirate season 19. We do raid breakdowns, dungeon breakdowns. We did a Witch Queen breakdown for the campaign. So we are here to help you become a better PvE player, much as Kit is here to help you become a better PvP player. You can find me in the Massive Breakdown Discord. I spend a lot of time there hanging out, talking to patrons, answering questions, posting builds for PvE, talking about weapon recommendation, perk recommendations, again, going over all the changes that happened to the PvE sandbox. You can also find me on Twitter as Impetus Always. You're welcome to ask me questions, hit me up for recommendations. Love to talk Destiny, love to talk PvE with you. So that's where you can find me.
All right, fantastic. Thank you so much. And big props. Podcast Versus Enemies has been absolutely killing it. Every episode, you guys seem to just fine-tune the formula for delivering top-tier PvE podcast. And so just thank you for being amazing. Truly, you know, I've wanted to have a PvE podcast going. Like that's been like a huge gap in the Destiny community. There hasn't been a great, like really in-game PvE-focused podcast. And so I'm glad that, you know, we were able to put something together. You and Saint and Court have just been a blast. So lots more good stuff on the horizon for Podcast Versus Enemies. Maybe some stuff that we're super excited about and can't talk about. Who knows? Who knows? We'll leave that hanging and come back to it in the future. As ever, I'm your host, Kid Ketcha. This has been Destiny Massive Breakdowns, episode 280. You can believe it. And you can find more from me, more from Impetus and the rest of the PvE crew, and maybe a little bit of Star Wars fandom from myself and Mercules by heading over to DestinyMassiveBreakdowns.com. There you'll find all the podcasts. You can play them right in your browser if you want to do that. Always catch the latest episodes right on the website. You can link out as well to the Discord. You can catch us all on Twitter. You can kind of connect to everything. Catch the occasional update there on the site as well in terms of useful info. I try to put some stuff out every now and then, and hopefully a little more in the near future. All right, folks. It has been a very enjoyable couple of hours. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you especially again to all of our patrons, all of our reviewers, for both for this show and for PvE. Y'all are awesome. Peace.